content comes in so many different forms. You don't have to be the Active Action Podcast here to get your name out there and B, have a digital footprint. And that's the beauty of what content really is. It's a digital footprint. Just because you start something doesn't mean that you have to continue it the same way that you started it. Podcasting isn't about us. It's about the audience. We have to meet them where they are. So that's when the content really elevates a brand, is not just when the content is good, but when the content is placed properly and it hits all of those different ways that people consume it. But if we leverage the ability to work with somebody else, now we're amplifying our audience by double, right? We're not only reaching one audience, our own, but we're introducing new people to our audience. The power of content is that it can build trust organically and authentically.
You're tuned into the Active Action Podcast. Step into a world of engaging conversations with leading experts, where every episode is your chance to learn, grow, and stay inspired. Become our premium supporter and get access to expert articles and strategy guides on personal and professional development, and enjoy lots of other exclusive features. Visit our website activeaction.fm for more information and to explore all episodes. Don't forget to check our merchandise for exciting goodies at activeaction.shop. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode.
Dear listeners, welcome back to another episode of the Active Action Podcast. It's me, your host, Dr. Nazif, back with you again with another amazing guest. Today, we will be knowing a lot about content creation. But before delving into that, just wanted to take this moment to appreciate all you guys for keep listening to the podcast and for your generous support. Wanted to let you guys know that we did start our premium supporters program. So if you become a premium supporter of Active Action Podcast, you will get access to personal and professional development strategy guides and articles written by our expert consultants. If you want to do that, you can visit by www.activeaction.fm/support, and you can get started for free. Apart from that, we also started our merchandise. So if you want to take a look at some cool clothing lines or some other goodies, please feel free to visit www.activeaction.shop. Let's dive into today's episode. So today we have with us John Gehring. And John, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Nazif. I'm so excited for our conversation today. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much, John, for joining today's podcast. And as you can see, dear listeners and viewers, we will be talking about content. So the topic for today's podcast is content that cuts through. And we have our expert, John Gehring, who is the founder of John Gehring Voiceovers. John has been telling stories for a living since college. As a radio personality and business owner and a college professor, John's knowledge of content creation for small businesses is unparalleled. John can share secrets to using content to elevate a brand. He can also dive into the world of voiceover podcasting and radio broadcasting. So dear listeners, if you're looking into podcasting or content creation, I think today's episode would be very helpful for you, and we'll get to know a lot from John and from his wonderful diverse experiences. So John, would you like to introduce yourself a bit and how you came into content creation with our audiences?
Yes, thank you, Nazif, and thank you for the very nice introduction there. So I am John Gehring, and I am the founder of John Gehring Voiceovers. I went to college knowing that I wanted to do something content related with my life. And I really thought that maybe the answer was newspaper writing, because that was what people were doing back then. But as it turns out, the newspaper industry didn't last. It certainly, while it is alive, technically, it's a lot of layoffs have happened. Writing in general has been outsourced, and fewer people haven't been invested in that area. So I ended up just kind of serendipitously walking into the college radio station on my college campus and immediately fell in love with radio broadcasting. And the rest is history. From there, I interned at some local radio stations, ended up working there for a while, and then realized that I can do my radio broadcasting, but I can do it for myself. The radio industry was also going through rounds of layoffs and difficulties. So I ended up getting into my own business because I thought that was the best way that I could diversify content creation, not just for radio stations, but also for podcasts, amazing podcasts. These are spreading good knowledge with the world and also be able to work with a variety of different people. So in a nutshell, that's what I've done. I've been blessed to be able to do various different things with so many different clients. And I'm excited to talk more about creating content that really cuts through the noise out there.
Thank you so much, John, for that wonderful introduction and letting our audiences know a bit about yourself. So you came into this realm of content creation and you have been working with content and voiceovers a lot for the past couple of years. From your experience, can you share how to create and repurpose a good content?
Absolutely. And that is the challenge that we all have because content feels so intimidating. We look at everything. Oh my gosh, the Active Action Podcast. Dr. Nazeev has everything lined up here. It must have taken him forever to set this up. It must have been expensive to set this up. And that may be so, but content comes in so many different forms. You don't have to be the Active Action Podcast here to get your name out there and be have a digital footprint. And that's the beauty of what content really is. It's a digital footprint. So creating good content is really about being authentic. It's about being yourself. It's about finding something that works for you, whether that be written content, video content, audio content. You have almost unlimited options. Be yourself. Don't just do something because everybody else is doing it. The beauty of repurposing, as you talked about, repurposing content is so huge. Some people think, oh my gosh, it's so overwhelming. How do I create all the pieces of content to have a post to go out on social media every day and stuff for my website and stuff for my YouTube channel? Why can't all that stuff be the same? Sometimes it needs to be reformatted to be put into the proper platform. And that's why working with a professional or just digging in deeper and learning more yourself is important. But repurposing content is one of the most underused ways to amplify our message. Typically, our audiences aren't going to hang out on all of our different platforms. If you amplify one very good message, that's so much better than trying to send different messages to different places. And that's the beauty of content. And that's the beauty of all the different platforms we have.
Right. And I can actually, John, relate to what you're saying, because when we create a content or when I create a podcast and I'm thinking, okay, this needs to go to Facebook, to YouTube, to Instagram and different social media and how different social media has their own requirements, even format size and the outlook of the visual of the video, it sometimes becomes very difficult to do all those at the same time, but cutting the big video into small pieces and uploading that into social media takes a lot of time. So at one point, like how you mentioned, these things are a bit expensive. So as you go through, if you can find that time to do it, and if this is not your full-time job, it gets a bit, it's a daunting process. So I really like your idea of how you can use the same content that you're creating just to have that and repurpose that for different social media sites without into going into much too detailed attention. And that is what I also started doing, John. And I really feel that what matters more than the visual is the content itself. So if the content is good, people is going to listen to it with attention. That is what you want, right? If the content is good, if the topics are interesting, that will get into people. It's not that it needs to look visually good. Looking visually good is a plus. Definitely it has its merit, but I completely agree with you. It's not everything. And learning about these things from professionals is sometimes really, really helpful, especially if even if you're taking it as a passion, you want your passion to be fruitful and good. So making that one-time investment might help you in a lot of way. So
definitely. Yeah. And I would also add, don't be afraid not to be on a social media platform. Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. There are so many of them popping up all over the place. And we think, oh, now I got to be on Threads. I still don't know what Threads is, but everybody's like, and now you got to be on this. Now you got to be on that. I mean, look at how TikTok exploded. Everybody's got to be on TikTok. Maybe, but what if I'm not on TikTok? I mean, I'm not. And that's not where my audience for my business typically hangs out. Am I missing an opportunity? Maybe. I don't know. Sure. But I would say to focus on quality over quantity, especially when it comes to social media.
For sure. For sure. That's so important, John. And today, we both are talking to a podcast, and we're seeing that podcasts are increasingly becoming popular nowadays. And there are podcasts currently is being used to spread the message. Even they're used by passionate podcasters or even used by different companies to promote their messages as well. Many of the people are currently looking to do a podcast. From your experience, I want to ask you, how to start and leverage a podcast?
Podcasting is a brilliant way of creating content because you're doing it here with the Active Action Podcast. You start a podcast, now you have unlimited pieces of content that you can use. Your podcast can be your entire content. This is what I do with clients. I work with them to start a podcast and then leverage that for content across their brand. Think about what a podcast can be. Yes, it goes out on all the platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can syndicate it to YouTube and the video and all the audio platforms. But then there's short video clips. There's those videos that you are looking for because video content is huge. You can make video into vertical, horizontal, square, all from the same piece of content. And then you can write blog posts. How beautiful is that? Now you have written content, you have visual content, you have auditory content. You can get your audience involved. That's why podcasting, I think, is the most efficient way to create content. There are over 4 million podcasts right now in the world, but less than half of those have made it to 10 episodes.
Oh, wow. That's even intense.
Yes, even fewer of those, less than 10% of them, release an episode weekly. Which means that your opportunity is actually a lot bigger than you think it is if you're willing to commit to creating content and doing it on a consistent basis. So that's why podcasting is so effective. Now, you really asked how to create a podcast, and it's simple to start. Don't get all caught up in having all the right equipment, having all the right things before you start. Because the beginning, for most of us, that's not the case.
It takes a lot of experience and feedback to go into what actually needs to do for improvement. Even for the first 10 or 15 episodes, my mic wasn't, not my mic, like it doesn't need to be a fancy mic, but my audio quality wasn't good. I got it from the feedback of my audiences to improve that.
So you get feedback, that's a crucial thing. Then you're practicing while maybe your equipment isn't great. Maybe you don't have it all lined up. You don't have the best camera, maybe whatever. If you're starting, you're putting content out there and you can develop and move forward. When I first started podcasting and creating content, I was literally just using Zoom. And now look at us. Here we are. We're using this great platform. There's several platforms that are really good for video and audio because they actually host it locally here and you're not compromising quality. You are on a platform like Zoom. Just because you start something doesn't mean that you have to continue it the same way that you started it. So with podcasting, I think the key is to come up with a niche. To come up with your area and have that clarity moving in. Again, not that that can't change over time, but that's the one thing that's going to be harder to change. Mm-hmm. Think about the quality of the content over some of the details. They got the great microphones. They got the good lighting. Well, we didn't start with that. We didn't start with that. And so I think the key is know who you're talking to, because when you know your audience and you know who you're talking to, that should inform everything you're saying. Podcasting isn't about us. It's about the audience. But the beauty of that is once you start a podcast and start improving on it and making it better and better each week that you record it, the ability to make that into endless pieces of content besides just that podcast file, it's unlimited.
Indeed, I agree with you, John. And one of the things that you sent actually got me thinking that there are 4 million podcasts, and so many of those podcasts haven't made up until more than 10 episodes. So we kind of see this attrition when podcast is being done, but the podcasts are not consistently run and uploaded through or not created through. Can you share a bit about why do you think this is happening?
I think ultimately when it comes to consistently putting out quality content is what you're saying. I think we we get the shiny object syndrome sometimes, right? Where we feel like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to do this every single week and I'm going to commit to doing this and it's going to be awesome. And then we start and we realize that it's a lot more work than we realized. And sometimes that gets overwhelming. And I feel like that's one of the big stumbling blocks for podcasters early on, which is why I suggest, one of the biggest things I suggest is having a few shows in the can before you get a podcast really off and running. Yeah. If you say, well, I want to release a podcast every Wednesday. And so you say, oh, I'm going to record every Monday and release every Wednesday. Well, then next week you get sick. And the next week you're just having a bad day and you're not feeling it. If you were to maybe record on Mondays and release 3 weeks from now on Wednesday, that's a more realistic timeline because now you have some wiggle room and now you are able to make sure that you keep up that consistency. Because like you said, that consistency is everything. It's everything for search engine optimization, wants to see a consistent flow of new content. Your audience wants to come to expect consistency over the weeks as you release. I guess that's another thing to put out there is ideally, it's found that podcast episodes released every week perform better than less frequent releases, but it's best to release once a month if you're not going to release consistently. And if you release a podcast once a month and repurpose that throughout the month, that can still be an effective way because of just how many pieces of content you can make from a single podcast episode. That's still a lot better than not committing to consistency with the podcast.
Indeed, I 100% agree with you, John. And consistency is the key. Even if it's twice a week, even if it's once a month, I think having that urge to release something, just have keeping that motivation is really, really helpful on being consistent. And I can share you a bit about myself as well over here that when I thought, like you mentioned, releasing an episode every Wednesday, I thought of releasing an episode on every Saturday. But when I did start podcasting, I wouldn't know how much work would go into it. So usually I started booking guests once a week, and that went from, because I wasn't getting enough guests because I didn't know the right strategy. So I was going from booking once a week to twice a week because I was thinking, okay, so if there is not much availability, then maybe guests are not encouraged to come into the podcast. So I increased the slot bookings. And then what happened when I started reaching, the podcast started getting to people, we have like an automated scheduling in our website, probably the way you booked this recording today. So that schedule got filled really, really fast. And to the surprise, it's now booked until March of 2026 with at least 2 episodes per day. At one point, I wasn't understanding how people was getting this podcast in and how they were booking the schedules, and it was like a automated process. So what I did was I decreased the availability from 2 days to 1 day starting from September this year. So it's now booked for up until March next year, 1 day of episode. But that was my motivation, because if guests are wanting to come to the podcast, they obviously think there is some kind of value to it. So that actually motivates me a lot to keep this continuing. And also for productions, I usually don't take much headache. I mentioned I usually take around 2 weeks to produce. That gives me adequate time to think and to work it slowly in the pace that I'm comfortable with. And I think all these factors are really helpful when thinking, being consistent with the podcast and to keep that motivation. So thank you, John, for sharing your wonderful words of wisdom on those.
And you're doing something right, because if you check out the Active Action Podcast, I mean, the reviews up on Spotify, up on Apple Podcasts, you're really doing well. And now you're also putting out merch at activeaction.shop. So you're doing a ton of great stuff and it's showing through with some of the results now. So I commend you for that.
Thank you so much, John. Really appreciate it. We are talking about contents today, and we talked that many of the podcasters use many of the marketers or many of the companies currently using podcasts as a way to spread their messages. So we know content can definitely elevate a brand. So from your experience, can you share that? How do you think a content can elevate any brand?
Well, I worked with a client, actually a marketing business client, and so many marketing businesses are so worried about marketing for their clients that they forget to market for themselves, right? And so I worked with a marketing business to put together a podcast. And it's a really beautiful thing because what they ended up doing was creating a podcast and then using that content to elevate their brand outside of that podcast as well. So from that podcast, they created four different pieces of content every single week. Short form video, which would be those shorts that we talked about, putting it on all the social media platforms. A blog post, which was actually, they used AI to help them with that. Graphics that they created with quotes that they had their guests on. They put quotes in over images. So now you have video, you have graphic, you have text, and then of course the audio and little sound bites that they put out there on audio platform. So how that elevated their brand was it made them accessible to not only the podcast listeners out there. A lot of people listen to podcasts, but then there are some people who are like, nah, I don't. I just listen to music while I'm in the car or whatever. But that made them accessible now to everyone who consumes content in different ways. Some people like to read. Some people like to watch. But many people don't like to watch anything longer than 47 seconds, right? We can't force someone or encourage someone enough to consume a type of content that they don't feel comfortable consuming. We can't have a good enough video title to make someone watch a 7-minute video if they simply don't watch video longer than a minute. If you only watch YouTube shorts, you're just simply not going to be watching a longer form video. So many times when we think about content, we think about, we got to get the perfect hook. We got to get the perfect way to get people to sit and listen to the whole thing or watch the whole thing or read the whole thing. And while there's value in strong hooks, we have to take it even a step back and say, well, is the content we're creating actually even going to reach the audience that we want? This was how working with this marketing company that I worked with, we were able to make a podcast, which is that specific form of content they chose, but your form of content could be anything. It doesn't have to be a podcast, and turn it into written, visual, auditory. And psychologists say that there's different ways that we prefer to learn. There's different ways that we prefer to be entertained. My wife likes to read books. I don't know why. Most of us don't read books, but my wife likes to. She loves the stories. I like to watch on TV. We all like to be entertained and informed in different ways. And that's why we can't force a square block into a round hole and try to force someone with some great content hook to do something that's just out of character for them. We have to meet them where they are. So that's when the content really elevates a brand, is not just when the content is good, but when the content is placed properly and it hits all of those different ways that people consume it.
That's wonderful. And I really agree with that. Not forcefully feeding a content into the audiences, but getting to understand the audience's nerve on how they want to receive the content. Like you mentioned, there are different formats. There is an audio podcast. There is a video of the podcast as well. But also, it can be written like blog. So it all depends on like how the audience will take it. If your content is good in whatever form it is, listeners, viewers, or readers are going to stick through it. For example, if I'm having this content that cuts through episode 29 of the Activation Podcast, and I do the audio, I do a video, but then I do a written blog of that, anyone who doesn't want to listen to the audio or watch a video can go to the website and take a look at the blog and actually learn something from it, which might be very valuable for them apart from just listening to the audio. And if they're hooked into reading that blog, they might be coming into your app, your website again, or your podcast again to read the future blogs, the future episode. And that might at one time convert to your viewer or as a listener. So there are so many ways to understand the nerve of how the listeners or potential audiences actually receives your content. So for sure, I really appreciate that thought, John. You did mention that you worked with marketers to grow their brand and the content as well. So can you share from your experience how to collaborate with brands to leverage content?
Yeah, so collaboration is huge too, because we could just put out something for our own individual brand. I record videos, I release a video every week on LinkedIn, I release a blog post every week on LinkedIn. But if we leverage the ability to work with somebody else, now we're amplifying our audience by double, right? We're not only reaching one audience, our own, but we're introducing new people to our audience. So that's the power. Collaborative podcast episodes are great. Collaborating with brands can be a little bit tricky because obviously you want to make sure that it's a fruitful collaboration for both sides, right? And right. So when you do that, you want to make sure that you're not collaborating so much with people who are selling the same services as you, but you're collaborating with people who have the same audiences as you. So marketing strategists, for example, is great for me to collaborate with because a marketing strategist doesn't necessarily create content. I do, but they work with people who are going to need to create content. So working backwards and thinking, who can I collaborate with who shares some of the same audience that I have, but doesn't do the same work that I do? And when I started in voiceover, the best way to do that was to work with video producers, right? Mm-hmm. People producing video may not do the voiceover or have a voiceover partner, but they work with a lot of people who need a voiceover for their video. So just finding those aligned brands to collaborate with. And sometimes it doesn't always have to be. Sometimes you just want to make a good piece of content with just anybody. And that's okay too. None of this hurts, but approaching a brand, offering a collaboration, making sure that you're both aligned and you both know what kind of content you're going to create, and then repurposing it and actually following through and sharing it. How many times do we see this where we make a podcast, that probably both of us, I don't know about you, Nazeef, but we make a podcast and the person on the podcast seems so excited about sharing it and doing their best to promote it. Then you send it to them and they don't share it. And you're like, but you said you were going to. And, you know, for whatever reason, it doesn't make them bad people or bad intentioned. It just means, I don't know, maybe life got busy and they forgot. But making sure that you follow through, because that's so key to make a collaboration worthwhile, is making sure you're both following through so you actually are amplifying that audience. But the beauty of that is then you get new people in your audience, and now literally you both double your audience.
I agree with you that collaboration is indeed a good key. And I didn't recently know about how collaboration works, but I am in a couple of Facebook groups, in podcasting Facebook groups. They actually promote collaboration, and I really see this is a good method to gain audiences for both parties as well, if it's done right, and if kind of their vision and content actually aligns with each other, really the podcasters can support one another. And I wanted to talk to you a bit about content again. Content has huge impact on people, how the content is. And actually, a content has the ability to increase your sales volume to a larger extent, or even discouraging people to go into your product and look at it. It's all about how the content is being framed. Can I ask you, from your experience, what is content's impact on the bottom line?
Content is trust and currency in business development, I believe. That's the best way. Not more contacts. Some people say, well, if we just contact them seven times, seven touch points, for whatever reason, they magically buy on that seventh touch point. Not if your message is a load of crap, right? The power of content is that it can build trust organically and authentically. And that's something that just regular old email notifications or, hey, just following up here, are you interested in our service? Just following up again. I mean, what do you do with those emails? We delete them. But if those seven touch points are quality touch points built through content that we scroll past on social media, maybe we read about in a magazine, maybe we attend a webinar. That's another great form and idea of content. Content equals trust. And when we build trust with our audience as business owners, that does have a huge impact on the bottom line. In fact, there's statistics that show that people who have seen videos on websites of products or services that they end up buying are over 80% more likely to follow through and make that purchase. And that's just one simple piece of content that's on the website. people who interact with the social media platforms of those brands that they end up buying from are over 50% more likely to follow through and buy from those brands. So content does have that impact on the bottom line. And then we can also look at some of the biggest brands, some brands like Nike, brands like McDonald's, Starbucks. Why do they produce so much content? It's not just for fun, right? These businesses are very bottom line focused. Ultimately, that's why they exist, right? To profit. They have teams of dozens of people who work full time for them, who their entire job is just to create content, not just to put ads out on TV, although that's important, not just to send out emails with coupons or emails saying, hey, don't forget about us. Yes, touch points are important, but content is the touch point that builds trust. And trust is currency in business development. So that's why I believe ultimately good content and well-aligned content can make all the difference for a business's bottom line.
100% agree with you, John. And I really liked how you mentioned trust is the currency for business development. Because when you see a good content, when you see how the content is delivered, and you have, it actually has the ability to increase your trust on that brand and get you hooked into getting that. Content is really, really powerful. And it's all about understanding how to use it properly, how to use it accurately, how to understanding the viewer's nerve and get onto it. And I think that is where the secret lies. But thank you so much, John, again, for coming to this podcast and sharing your wonderful words of wisdom. Dear listeners, I just want to mention, if you want to know more about John, and John has his own voiceover company. So if you want to know more about John, please feel free to get in touch with him. I'm sure John would be open to help you with your work. If you want to know about him more, feel free to visit our website in www.activeaction.fm/person/John Gehring. There is links for John's social and content information, a bio of John as well. So if you do want to get in touch with him, that's one way to do it. Apart from that, thank you so much, John, again, for coming to this podcast and sharing your words of wisdom with our audience.
Thank you so much, Nazif. It was a really fun conversation we had, and hopefully we were able to share some valuable tips on content.
For sure, for sure. I'm sure my audience has really appreciated your words of wisdom on content creation. That would definitely help them in doing so. Okay. Keep in touch. I'll chat with you soon, John. Take care.
You too.
Dear listeners, we were talking to John, and what a wonderful learning experience we had about content creation and podcasting, even potential podcasters who want to start their podcast, hearing the experiences from a professional podcaster and voiceover expert would really help to build your knowledge. So if you do have any questions or want to know new things from John, or even if you need voiceovers, please feel free to contact John Gehring. He has his wonderful voiceover company to support you. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And if you have any questions or concerns, please send me a message at podcast@activeaction.fm. I always appreciate your valuable feedback. And last but not the least, if you do find our content or the podcast episodes useful, please feel free to share that with your friends and family. And if you really like our content, please feel free to provide us a tip in our virtual tip jar at www.activeaction.fm/tip. Thank you so much again for joining. Keep listening to the podcast. Stay active and take action until we meet the next time.
Thank you for joining us on the Active Action Podcast at activeaction.fm. We hope today's episode gave you some entertainment, fresh perspectives, and a little extra motivation to take action in your own life. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, share it with someone who might love it too. Oh, one more thing. Become our premium supporter and get access to expert articles and strategy guides on personal and professional development, and enjoy lots of other exclusive features. Get started for free. Visit our website, activeaction.fm/supporter, for more information. Take care, stay active, and take action.